Is this connected to the right thing here? It's usually on the other side. Okay. Okay, tonight's shiur we'll be discussing the malacha of tochein, malacha of grinding, slicing, dicing, mashing, all of those activities on Shabbos. This is the second malacha. Grading. We can get to grading. This is the second malacha, I think, in the kitchen that we are involving ourselves in. We had two shiurim on borer, and this is tonight will be on tochein. Hopefully after the break in the summer, we'll have to pick up with wash, kneading, we have to do, and bishul we already did. We had the six shiurim on bishul, and then we'll get to other inyanim various on Shabbos, many other halachos of Shabbos that we have to do, but also tefilas kalim I have prepared to give you. That's at least two shiurim. So that's have to be work out a series of two, and we'll see from there what we'll talk about. But the sheets are over there. If you over there in the first row. But tonight let's talk about the malacha of tochein, grinding. So we know the first 11 of the 39 malachos in the Mishkan are called the Sidur DePas, the order of baking bread. It starts off with plowing, and then putting the seeds in, and then kotzer after it grows, you cut it, and then dash, you thresh, you cut off the kernels from the stalks. And it goes on, and eventually, once you have done borer, you've separated, now you have your seeds, so now you want to grind it up in order to be able to make the flour, in order to bake the bread. To knead, that's lush, that's what's after tochein, and then eventually to have ofe or bishul. That's where tochein was in the Mishkan. But for our purposes, the definition of tochein is any type of breaking down or reducing a certain entity, a certain item, into many smaller pieces. Tochein. Again, that might be called, we have to figure it out, is that slicing thinly? Is that in the world of tochein? But that's long one way, but short the other way. So, or does it have to be just very tiny pieces altogether? So what exactly is included in this malacha of tochein? If you just look in the Rambam, in source number one, the Rambam tells us, on the top right, Hatolda hi ha-malacha ha-dome la'av me'elu ha-avos. The tolda of a malacha is the subcategory to the av. For our purposes, bizman hazeh, we don't have a base of migdash. There is no difference between what is called an av and what is called a tolda. The only difference is a halacha in hilchos karbanos. So for our purposes, it doesn't make a difference. If somebody says something is a tolda, that doesn't mean it's a derabanan. A tolda is da'oraisa, just like an av is da'oraisa. They're both biblical. If something is derabanan, so then we already have, it's one lower level down. But an av and a tolda in Hilchos Shabbos, bizman hazeh, makes no difference for us. So says the Rambam, Ketzad, what's an example? Hamachatech es hayarek, ma'at, ma'at. If somebody cuts a vegetable very small, what does very small mean? We'll have to figure it out. Ma'at, ma'at, levashlo, in order to cook, hare ze chayiv. That is chayiv. Chayiv always means an Isser d'oraisa, Shizu hamalacha told us tachina. Because that is grinding. Just using grinding because that's how tochein is usually translated. Sha'a tochein, what does a grinder do? Lokeach guf echad u'mechalko l'gufim harbe. You take one item, one guf, and you break it down and you cut it up, you chop it up into many different gufim. V'chala osa davar hadom elazeh, if one does anything similar to this idea, Harezu told us tochein. So any type of, again, we're going to get to all the details. Any type of grinding, mincing, pulverizing, chopping, crushing, any of that, where you start off with one unit and you end up with many different units, is going to be included in the malacha of tochein. We'll get to that in a second. So first, we're going to have some of the rules and regulations. Then we're going to have four exceptions to the rule, and then we're going to just have a few miscellaneous at the end. That's going to be the structure. Just a few rules and regulations of tochein, four major exceptions to the rule, and then we'll have a couple of miscellaneous. The violation of tochein does not matter whether it is done manually, biyad, or bikli. Unlike, as we spoke about in other malachas, it might make a difference whether something is done bikli with a specific utensil made for grinding or biyad manually. It does not make a difference. As we will see, we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch later, but I'll just mention it now. If somebody has dried dirt on the bottom of their skirt, on the bottom of their pants, and I go like this to get it off, besides libun issues. Libun is cleaning. So let's say you're only going to do the upper layer of the dirt. You're not going to get to the layer that's touching the clothing. So I'm going to just go like this. So then that could be, that's with my hand. That could be an issa d'oraisa. That could be a biblical problem because I'm crushing that dirt. I'm crushing the dirt, and that is the malacha, as we'll see, the Shulchan Aruch is going to discuss, of tochein. So again, it's, whether it's biyad or bikli is a problem, depending on the normal way of crushing, of chopping that item. If the normal way is not to do it in the way you're doing it, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that shinui. But again, if one does it in the normal way that it is done, whether it is manually or with a utensil, so that would be a problem. Number one, kli or yad. Number two, this malacha applies both to food items and to non-food items. Food and non-food items. The Gemara in source number 3, on the top left, I don't want to skip it. Number 2, the Shmir Shabbos, just quotes just one example of doing the malacha in the normal way, which is a problem. Ein lehishtamesh b'kli ha-meyuchad l'chita chabatzel. One should not use a specific grinding utensil to chop up an onion. V'hu ma'arecha sakinim, he describes it, a onion chopper. It's a set of knives or blades. Muskenes b'tzir u'kvitzim. V'aydei shehi mistoveves misaviv latzir. Nasis pu'ulas ha'ktitza b'ofen yisodi. Some type of chopper he's describing. You probably know this better than I do. Some type of onion chopper that you push down and it cuts it and dices it into many tiny small pieces. So that's the normal way of chopping and cutting that onion. And therefore it would be a problem. That is all number one, yad or kli. Number two, as I mentioned, this applies to food items or non-food items. The Gemara, source number 3, the Gemara in Shabbos, says, Amar of Papa, the top left of the page, Hai man de parim silka, somebody who chops, beats, chayiv mishim tochein, somebody who chops and cuts very finely, beats, one is chayiv mishim tochein, that is the malacha of grinding. Why are beets discussed? Specifically beets. Why not any other vegetable? Why does the Gemara pick beets? So there are some Rishonim that limit the Malacha. We'll get back to this hopefully a little bit later. Tosfos there, in source number 4, right under the Gemara, says, Dalka besilke shayach tchina avol shar ochlin shari. Only beets, but not other foods. Why? What's so special about beets? How Tosfos is usually understood is that maybe it only applies to an item which cannot be eaten without the grinding. And the grinding makes it edible. Maybe that's the type of grinding that is a problem by foods. If it was inedible, it was raw beforehand, nobody's going to eat a raw whole beet. But afterwards, after you chop it up, maybe like an onion, maybe he takes a bite out of an onion. But after you chop it up very thinly, finely, you might eat a tiny drop of onion. So maybe that's the limit of the Gemara. Why does it pick beets? Maybe it only applies, and this is how some Rishonim hold, maybe it only applies to foods that before you did the grinding, it was not edible, and this grinding made it edible. You accomplished something. So maybe that's a limit, that is a limit that some Rishonim say. But we generally don't assume that limit. We assume it applies to all foods, whether you were able to eat it beforehand, whether you were not able to eat it beforehand. The Malacha applies to any food item. It also applies, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says, going down to source number 9, Hamachati chayarek dak dak chayiv mishum tochein. You cut a vegetable, right? No specifics. Any type of vegetable, again, we haven't defined dak dak yet, we'll have to get to that. Chayiv mishum tochein. So one is chayiv for tochein by any vegetable. This also applies, as we mentioned, to non-food items. Back to the Gemara on the top left, Amar of Menashe, Haiman de Sulis Silsi. You make shavings of wood, right? It's shavings of wood. What's that called? The sawdust. So that also is an isser of tochein. And why would you be making tochein? I don't know. But let's say you see a child, you know, just rubbing the wood or playing with the dirt and picking up clods of earth and mushing it together. So those would also be, the Gemara says, solas silsi would be an isser of tochein. So it applies to food or non-food items. The Rambam talks about shaving metal. Shaving metal also, that's an example of a non-food item, which one would be chayiv for. So that's the next yisod, food and non-food. So we had kli and yad, we had food and non-food items. Number three, the case that I mentioned before is in the bottom Shulchan Aruch in source number 10. Another example of a non-food item, tits shal bigdo. Somebody has mud or dirt, or let's put it into our terms, shalant on their clothes. You got to drop a piece of somebody wipes something on your shirt. Mishafshefo mi b'fim. So again, we're not discussing libun now. That's a separate shiur we'll talk about. Hopefully, cleaning on how do you clean a stain, if at all. What are you allowed to do? Not allowed to do on Shabbos. You're allowed to rub it from the inside. That means on the opposite side that the chalent is on. You go to the inside and try to push. Try to like push off the solid. That doesn't even look like, that's not only not cleaning, but that doesn't look like cleaning. But you can't really do much about it besides taking off the outer layer. Again, not our topic now. But now the last line is what's important for us. The yesh befarshim dehani mili lach. The only time you could try to get any of this off is if it's still a little moist. So it's not going to crumble when you try to get it off. Aval yavesh usur. But if it's already dried, sometimes you find on a shoe, on the bottom of a skirt or pants, it's already dried, usur dehavi tochein. Because if something's going to crumble, and my action is going to cause it to crumble, and I knowingly do it, that is going to be the malacha of tochein. Again, it applies to food items and to non-food items. How small? So this is a very difficult point to pin down, and there's no easy answer to this, as we will see. Rashi, turning over the page, Rashi on the top right in source number 11, Rashi on that Gemara that talks about chopping the beets, so Rashi says, Parim Silka, the top Rashi, Mechatcho Hadeik. Rashi quotes just two lines, small, hadeik, means chopping it finely. So that doesn't really help us out. Tosos, a little later in Masechah Shabbos, again, the Rishonim don't really give an exact shear. Maybe we'll see why in a minute. But Tosfos, answering a problem between two different Gemaras. One Gemara which seems to say you're allowed to chop on Shabbos, and another Gemara seems to say that you're not allowed to chop. So Tosfos says, at the end of line 7, in the middle source, don't compare this Gemara, where Tosis is talking, where you're allowed to chop, to another Gemara, where it says you're not allowed to chop. Don't compare these two Gemaras, one which says mutter, one which says aser. Where is it a problem? Where you make very small pieces. What does that mean, very small pieces? If you make big pieces. So again, Tosu doesn't give us a shear. He just says big versus small. So again, we're very unclear how small is allowed. We know you're allowed to cut a piece of challah in half. You know that you're allowed to cut your challah. We know you're allowed to cut up you don't have to serve the whole vegetable. But so where does the line go? You're allowed to cut. Oh! So where is it that one has to stop? So, well, let's try to give one definition, but just to show you, the poskim have a very serious challenge trying to pin down exactly how small is a problem. The Bir Halacha himself says, the Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha in source 13 says, I'm not sure, just be careful. When you think it's small, stop. Or stop right before you think it's small. Says the Bir Halacha in source 13, he quotes our Rashi and our Tosis that we just saw, and then he says, at the end of line 4, calls elinin chiyuv. But even just to make it small, that might be in the realm of d'oraisa. Aval inyan iser, but regarding what might be an iser d'rabanan, yishli zara ma'od bazeh. One has to be very careful. One can't get into the world of small. The kfar kasa b'seh for yureyim, lor blazami metz, the sheer dakusa lo no dalanu. We are not 100% sure how small is small. So what guideline do we have, if there is any, for how small? So there is one idea which I think can help us, suggested by Rabbi Ribiat in the big Alamat HaMalacha Sefer, which you have in source 14. She quotes the background that we saw, the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tosvos, the Bir Halacha, and he says as follows. We are on line 24. Anir Abazem. Debal Karchach, says Rabbi Ribiat, L'kuli alma yesh l'famim l'chaivo mishom tochein, gam ba'osech halakim k'tanim she'enan dak. It seems from the sources, because they don't give a specific size, there are some times that you have to chop it up very, very, very finely, like flour, and that's going to be the problem. And other times you get the sense that even not so, so small, but pretty small. So what's the rule? Ella, Dekol shegomer asiyas chalakim aktanim lios ruuyin letafkid chadash. Says Rabbi Ribiat, if you ever cut it, and now that you've cut it, it has achieved a new function, you could do something new with this. So then, that's chayiv. That's the issue. Have you done when you cut a banana in half? What have you done? Nothing. There's a new function this banana can be used for? No. If you chop a vegetable in half, or even into quarters, once you've gotten small enough so that now it could be used in salad, now it's very small that it could be, you don't have to work so hard when you bite into it. If there's some new function that is now, has been achieved by your grinding, by your chopping, that's where the gray area starts and one has to be careful. So therefore, he says, therefore, different foods will have different rules. You have to analyze each case. And again, we'll have a number of exceptions which will help us out regarding certain foods. We'll have in the second section. But now we're just getting the background rules. Lachain, Bahach, he says on line 27, Deparis, Silka, Vesala, Silsi, the cases about in the Gemara spoke about chopping the beets and the wood. The Pirshuro Rishon, the Marisha Chatchan Dak Dak, there is you have to cut him very small. Hatam, Yishem, the Kol Elu, Einer, Uyen, Kalat, Sorech, Letaf, Kikan, Rakashain, Dak, and Ma'od. If you're trying to create firewood, you're trying to create little things to be able to light your fire with, kindling, they got to be very small. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to create very small pieces. So that's why Rashi there says very small. And he says, I'll bring you a riot to this from Shmirah Shabbos. And again, this will become clearer as we see examples. The Siyuah Labir Zera Isi B'Sefer Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa on line 30. Masha Shama Me'agon Rishlomo Zalman Oyerbach Degabe Yerakos Eino Chayev Elemkin Chatchan Lachatichos Dak Dak. By vegetables, you're only chayev if you chop them very finely. Why? And this is a quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman. The time of the mutter lachtoch v'shabas peros v'irakos gedolim. Why are you allowed just to cut, not to chop finely? Why are you allowed to cut vegetables? Lechatikos ketanos shereuyos miyad la'achila hu mipnei sha'adayin srichin l'shinayim hatochnos osam. Even when you cut vegetables pretty small, but not tiny, you still have to grind them in your mouth. The grinding isn't finished yet. So what does that mean? The rabbi isn't finished yet. Reverbiat interprets. It means you haven't achieved a new function yet because you've cut, but if you still got to use your teeth to grind, so the new function hasn't been achieved, and that's why as long as we leave them a little larger than we usually cut them, so that people have to chew them and eat them a little more than they usually do, so therefore that's going to be mutter. V'shani bikua eitzim shevoin latafkida miyam bilishum tchina. Unlike if you chop wood, which is going to be able to be used now for firewood, that might be more of a problem if you leave it the bigger size. Because you have a piece of firewood, now it's ready to be stuck into the fire. So Lamaisa, it's still somewhat of a gray area. Not exactly sure, but if we can look at it and say, this isn't diced. Dicing, we would say, is very small. You can just swallow it once things are diced. But if they are cut small, we know what the difference is between cut small, where we're still going to have to chop it and grind it with our teeth, versus diced finely. That's where there would be a difference. Like we just had a salad tonight, so if somebody has these little scallions that you cut very, very small like that, that's already you can swallow that without chewing. That's very, very. If you make them a little bigger pieces. If you want to do it, if you do it before Shabbos, not a problem. We're going to get to, are there any heterim how to do it on Shabbos? We'll see what we could do. But again, to chop it very finely, so that would be an issue. Okay, so this is all. Feel free to ask. I feel like I'm talking too long here. Feel free to ask questions. I guess when we get to the exemptions, we'll get to some of the questions. This was all part one, rules and regulations of toche and the definition, manually or with a kli, food, non-food, and how small. Four exceptions to the rule, or exemptions. These four all stand on their own. You don't need all four. It's not like borer, which we discussed, you need all three to be mutter. Here, any of these four stand on their own. The first is based on a Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen, one of the great early Achronim, he was on the border, one of the early Achronim from the 1500s. This Trumas Hadeshen is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Trumas Hadeshen was asked in source 15. Misha eino yachol lil os yafeh b'shinav. If somebody can't chew well, elderly person, and they can't chew well, And the yesh lefanav basar she'eino rach, have a piece of meat, a piece of chicken in front of them, could go and slish you kasha lilos, they can't chew it. And what do you want? I want to chop up the steak into very, very tiny pieces. They can chew it. They can eat it. So is there any heter? Is there any heter to do that? Shari le'lachto chabasar b'shabes, dak basak, they cut it up very finely. Ula ochlo achar yacholat. Let's say I want to cut up a piece of chicken for a child into very tiny little pieces. You know, is there any way to do that? That's the question that the Shulman Tadeshon was asked. And he answers, mutter. Mutter. Why is it mutter? We just learned about tochein. We just spent a little while discussing tochein. Tshuva, line 5. Yired deshari kahai gavna. No problem. Vein lesser mepdeshu tochein. This is not tochein. First, he suggests what we said before, which many do not hold of. Maybe it's limited to things that are not able to be eaten raw. They're inedible before the tochein. As we had earlier, the tosos we mentioned that the limitation is the beet, dafka, the beets or something like it, where it's inedible beforehand. Maybe that's one idea, but we should say that we don't really hold of that. We assume that it's all food, so that doesn't work for us. But the second suggestion of his is very important, and that is what we do hold of. And that is in the second column, on line 10, Mikol makom nire, v'ikol ameimar, d'bebasar mevushal otzli, by meat, d'benido didon, like in our case, kule alma moda d'shari, everybody agree it's okay. Why? And it's not comparable to wood, fruit, or bread. De inhu kule gidulin min haaretz. Gidule karka. The malacha only applies to things that grow from the ground. Only items that grow from the ground. Fruits, vegetables, anything like that. Wood, meat does not grow from the ground. Animals, what? Shalant. Shalant comes from potatoes and barley and lentils, and that shalant comes from the ground. God, the ingredients. Dirt is a question. Dirt is ground. Dirt is karka. So in this context, the poskim seem to say that it's in the category. You have to look different. Sometimes dirt is gidu, because it's not gidule karka. You're right, but it is karka. So sometimes animals are called gidule karka for certain purposes, because they live off the ground. For example, I don't know if we discussed, we never had a shiur on dush, but milking a cow. The Gemara says that dush, including in milking, dush includes many malachas, threshing, but including milking a cow is included in that. A woman expressing her milk, that's included in the general category of dush. But people and animals are called gidule karka for the malacha of dush, even though we're not called animals or not. So you have to know every malacha has different categories. For this malacha, for tochein, it only applies to things that grow from the ground, and therefore, meat, chicken, tuna fish, there might be other problems of lush, which we'll talk about in the future, but there's no tochein problem. There's no, bananas grow from the ground. What? You can't, well, get to, we're going to get to mashing. We didn't talk about mashing yet. What? Chopping it, so far, it would still be a problem. Eggs, no problem. No problem with making egg salad. Chopping eggs, no problem. Eggs don't grow from the ground. Does not matter. It's 100% mutter. 100% mutter. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Ein trina ela begidulei karka. Only things that grow from the ground. This limitation of gidulei karka is listed by other malachas in the Gemara. It's not limited to tochein in the Gemara. This is the Trumas Adeshin's extension. As he says as follows. Let's continue. De'inu kulei gidulei ben haaretz. Everything that we've discussed that is aser is only things that grow from the ground. Ve'yesh v'minan trina. Gontua v'kitnis. Grains. Aval basar de'in gidulei ben haaretz. Bustle that does not grow from the ground. Like this type of food, there is no tchina shayach to it. Just like the Gemara says about the malach of ma'amer. What's ma'amer? Gathering. Does not come up so much, gathering, unless you have an apple tree in your backyard and you're gathering the apples for the first time on Shabbos and they've never been gathered before. And it doesn't come up so much, but the Gemara says ma'amer is limited to gedulei karka. If I tell my kids to clean up the mess on the floor, that's ma'amer. Right? No, there's no ma'amer by toys. There's no ma'amer by, except by gidulei karka. So the Shulman Tadeshin says, just like the Gemara says it by ma'amer, so too, it applies to tochen as well. And again, even though this is not in the Gemara, but this is l'kulei alma accepted, not a problem. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in source 17. Next source, mutter lachtov basar mevushal otzli. Doc, basakin, no problem. Meat, cheese, eggs, fish, all is not a problem. There is a question, again, this, some of you might have this issue. What about mushrooms? Mushrooms is always a question in halacha. Because, what broccoli make on mushrooms? Shahako. Why do you make a shahako on mushrooms? It's a fungus, and therefore what? Therefore what? So fungus, what is, what? Because the Gemara says, it looks like it's from the ground, but it's really grows from the air. What does that mean? I think I mentioned this in the past. Haraya, 2 years ago in the camp, you know, we have one of these trailers, and of course, you know, camp trailer, Kedarkam Bakodesh, we have some leaks. There was a leak over one of the windows that was there for like 3-4 years, and all of a sudden, on the corner of the carpets in the trailer, it's lifted from the ground. It's in the trailer. There are these mushrooms coming up. In the corner. It's in the corner. So I walk in, my wife, mushroom. I said, wow, shahako. That's exactly, I was very excited. Right? Because, we got rid of them in a minute. Don't worry. But either way, that's an amazing riot. Because they don't grow, there's no dirt near them. There's no dirt there. And they're growing. That's why we see a shahako on them. So what about if you want to dice mushrooms? So do they grow from the ground? They grow from the ground. They don't grow. That's always... Mushrooms are always a question in halacha. What exactly to do? So in source 18, there's a suffix. The suffix about if somebody wants to chop up mushrooms to put into a salad. Again, one should probably be machmir because, you know, even though we make a shahako on it, but still we should be careful in terms of considering it gidulei karka. Okay, that is number one. Number one exception. Again, there are reasons behind this. I gave you a couple of reasons in the Mishnah Berurah and others. Reasons behind this, why you should be limited to gedulei karka, but for now we'll just accept that that is the case. Number one. Number two, a second exemption to the rule of when there is no problem of tochein. Number two, the Ran quotes, and this is quoted in the Ramah, we can see it in the Ramah, if you go back for a moment, back to source 9. Back to source 9 at the bottom of the first page. On the end of the second line in source number 9, Avol Mutter Lefarer Lechem Lefnei Tarnagolim. Anybody ever crumple up matzah to put into their soup? Right, so why are we allowed to do that? Crumple up matzah. Getting out of, so we've already spoken about, there's no bishul issues. Right, we've spoken about that. Why is there no bishul issues? Because my soup is in a kli shlishi. Right, because the pot was number 1, the ladle's number 2, and the bowl is number 3, shlishi. Rav Moshe said, kli shlishi, no problem. Okay, I'm a Rav Moshe man, so kli shlishi is not a problem. I'm not baking, even though the batza was baked and this is cooking it. No problem, kli shlishi. So fine, we're out of that. What about tchina? What about tochein? You're grinding up the matzah. That grows from the ground. Flour comes from the grounds. So why is that allowed? Or challah. Matzah crumbles. Challah usually just dip. Right, but matzah, you crumble. So why is that okay? Ramah says the farish is okay. Mutzer lefar lechem, you could crumble it up to put it in front of the chickens. Why? The whole kfar nitchan ein lachush, de ein tochein achar tochein. This is a rule by a number of malachas also. Once something is ground once, no more grinding. The malacha of tochein is only when the first time it's ground. But once something has been ground already in its history, then there is no malacha of tochein again. So, flour was ground. Flour was ground from the wheat. Then you now made it into matzah or challah, but it was ground once already. You know, now it rose with the yeast, but it's been ground once. Ein tochein achar tochein. There is no iser tochein on something that has already been ground. Again, it comes up. Also, let's say, might come up, again, we had a shear. We had a shear in the past on taking medicines on Shabbos. Who's allowed to take medicine, who's not allowed to take medicine. So let's say one is in the category where you're allowed to take medicine. You're in bed. You're in bed, you can't come to the Shabbos table, you're allowed to take medicine. But let's say you can't swallow it. You can't swallow pills. Are you allowed to crush up the pill to put it into a drink to be able to swallow it? Crushing. You're not allowed to violate malachas because you want to take medicine. Or you can't violate malachas, you're allowed to crush it up. So that's tochein. Tochein, I'm grinding up the pill. What's the answer? Right, the whole reason of the iser to begin with is because it's the ground up. Correct, but now there's no iser. Because I'm in the world of Amacholosha Ein Bosakan, I'm allowed to take it. So is there a malach of tochein? No, why? Because this pill's been ground before. And now they reconstituted it and made it into a pill. But really it's Ein Tochein Achar Tochein. So once you're in the world of a pill, you have to give it to a child, to give a pill to a child to grind it up. So again, that is all going to be mutter because of Ein Tochein Achar Tochein. The way the Chazon Ish formulates this principle of Ein Tochein Achar Tochein is as follows. I gave this to you in source 21. He says, Tochein is only, the bottom left of the page, Tochein is only a malacha when you're breaking up a natural unit. Something that God made. If Hashem made this unit, and you, that's the malacha of Tochein. That applies to fruits and vegetables, and but if it's a man-made unit, so then it doesn't apply. That's his formulation of Ein Tochein Achar Tochein. Just another way of looking at it. Ava, line 6. Had Ein Tchina Bapas, Hainu Shein Tochein Ela Bahafrada Shal Chibur Tivi. Tochein is only when you're separating a natural unit. Aval Hafrada Shal Chibur B'nei Adam, but separating a unit, man-made unit, Ein Bechal Tochein. He includes, even if you have something that's never been ground before, but if it's a man-made unit, so then it would be mutter. Either way, this is the second exception and exemption to the rule. Yeah. A mixture. Right, let's say you have like a vegetable bread. Some type of vegetable bread, but the main ingredient is the flour. The main ingredient is the flour, carrot muffins. Sorry, flour is ready. Grass. I think you go by the ikker. You go by the, not a problem. I think it would be a problem. There is, though, maybe a limit to this exemption. And that is, some suggest that if, and this is suggested by the Arch HaShabbos in Source 22, and that is, maybe, even if it's been ground before, if the effects of that original grinding are totally removed, so then maybe you don't say Ein Tochein Achar Tochein anymore. Maybe Ein Tochein Achar Tochein is only if you still see the effects of the grinding, of the fact that it was ground before. You made the matzah, and the way you made the matzah is because you grounded, you made the flour which rose. That's fine, you still see the effects of the grinding. But let's say you could come up with a case where the effects of the grinding aren't here anymore. You've made it a solid item again. You made it a real solid item again. So are they solid? You can't say that's going to be us, sir. That's just us. So he says, he gives an example. What about chocolates? I mean, matzah is hard. It's wafery, but it's crumbly. It's crumbly. Chocolate is a hard, solid item. What is chocolate? Chocolate is made from chocolate beans, which are ground up, and you made it to chocolate. So what about, which some do, let's say you made a cake, and you want to, grind up some chocolate to put on the edges, to put on the top. You take a knife and you grind a little chocolate to put on shaving, chocolate shavings. So you ought to do chocolate shavings on Shabbos. So this would be a question. This is the nafkamina. It's been ground before. The chocolate's been ground before, but maybe because it's now totally a solid item, the original grinding is not still, the effects of the original grinding don't still hold. What do you say about the chazonish before? Like we said, it's not a natural connection. So this is at least a question. It's at least a question. He passed in the source 23 that maybe it should be usher. I don't know if it's so clear, because based on some of the sfaras that we said, it could be mutter too. But maybe l'chadchila one should try to do the shavings before Shabbos. Okay, that is exemption number two. So number one, we had only by gidulei karka, things that grow from the ground. Number two, if it's been ground before, no problem. Number three, and this one is somewhat more of a controversial one, a major machlokas in the Rishonim, but if somebody needs to rely on this, there is room to rely on it, because it's quoted in the Ramah. The Rashba, one of the great Rishonim, in Source 25, was asked this question about crumbling bread, I guess having the chickens, they already had chickens in the backyard, they had to crumble bread for their chickens. So he was asked this question, so he said, it's not a problem to do it immediately before the need. Immediately before the need, known as miyad. Something that we discussed in Borer, we mentioned, the three atayim of Borer, says the Rashba, the heter of miyad also applies to tochein. Therefore, chopping, dicing, grinding, anything you want, right before you're going to eat, says the Rashba, is mutter. Says the Rashba on the bottom left of 25, shuva, mistavra, dehadapar, silka, dafka, b'machadik, dakdak, when is it a problem? Only when you're going to eat it tomorrow. Or even later today, but later on, in an hour from now. But, where it's underlined, why? What's the svara? What is the Rashi say the svara is? Because you're eating. How do you eat? You're allowed to eat on Shabbos.
This is an extension of eating, what the Rashi calls up. Something that is part of the eating process. Plowing is not part of the eating process. You know, I could go pick an apple off a tree. Hey, this is part of the eating process. That's not part of the eating process. That picking an apple off a tree. No, but cutting something up before I eat it, that's halakhically, says the Rashba, called the eating process, as long as it's right before I eat it. If it's before I go to shul in the morning, then I go to shul. That's not part of the eating process. I took a big break in the middle. But if it's right before the meal, and then I'm going to bring it to the meal, so then, says the Rashba, that is not a problem. Ke'inyin, just like turning over sha'amal inyin borer. Just like the Gemara says, by borer, you have the heter of miyad, you also needed two more by borer. You had to be good from the bad, and we talked about that. But says the Rashba, just like there's a heter of miyad by borer, so too there's a heter of miyad by tochein. Continuing where it's underlined on line 5, the Alma, kol sha'ochel la'alter kederach shadarka b'yadam la'achol, as long as you're doing it right away, afal pi sheyesh ba'oso tzad ba'atmo chiyav chatas, even though this same action should be an iser d'oraisa, a biblical problem if you would do it for later, still, if you're doing it for now, says the Rashba, it's mutter l'chadchila, not a problem. Ba'filu ba'bayom hacha mutter. Hacha nami techvasehi, it is not a problem. What's so special about grinding and separating and borer? I want to say all malachas are mutter, miyad. I want to wear this shirt miyad, so I'm going to wash it right now to wear it. All malachas, I want to write. I want to, what do we mean, dafka, these two are mutter for just for immediate, we'll see if we pass them. This is the Rashba. We'll see what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. But just the svar for it before we talk about it, the Shmir Shabbos has a quote from Shlomo Zalman in source 29, who says, very insightfully, in our mouth, we separate and grind. That's part of actual eating. So actual eating is defined as grinding with our teeth and separate. There's a bone, we take it out of our mouth. So if that's actual eating, so right before it's in your mouth, it's also going to be called eating. So tochid and borer specifically, those two malachas, grinding and separating, have this heter of miyad for immediate consumption. You might have extended this, which we don't really, to wash, also kneading. Because what's the definition of kneading? Flour and water, liquid. So also the saliva in our mouth also helps things go down. So you might have extended it to wash, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman doesn't think that's as part of the definition. That, you know, even without the saliva, it's not as inherent. But he quotes, at least by these two, by Tochein and by Borer, that's the Svara, why, that's how the Rashba makes this extension, even though the Gemara only talks about it by Borer, but he has it by Tochein as well. Other Rishonim are very not happy with the Rashba. The Shulteki Borim in source 30, it's very little letters, I'll tell it to you outside, but feel free, he says, the Gemara says it by one Malacha. How does the Rashba extend it? What do you mean, miyad? The Gemara says, if it was such a heter, why did the Gemara say it? Which is a tremendous question. If this heter, the Gemara says, borer is mutter miyad, for immediate consumption. The Gemara says that, so says the Shuldigi Borim. If the Gemara felt that way about any other malacha, shouldn't the Gemara have said it? That's such a major heter. The Gemara should have said it. This is a raya by omission. It's a proof by omission. The fact that the Gemara didn't say it must not be true. Must not be true. So many Rishonim are vehemently against this Rashba. How could he even suggest it? Okay, we said a Svara of Rishon Mazalman as part of the eating process, but really, says the Shulchan Aruch, I am not happy about it, and I don't think it should be mutter. What do we say? So the Ramah quotes it. Ramah quotes the Heter. If you look back at source number 9, that same Ramah that we read before, the Ramah quotes the Rashba. Back on the bottom of page 1, source number 9, we quoted the Isser, says the Rashba, the Kolzel of Mayri Ela Bachote Chumeniach. The whole issue of Tochein is where you're going to leave it for later. Avalam La'achlo Miyah, but if it's for immediate use, immediate consumption, Hakol Shari. It's all mutter. This means even dicing, slicing, cutting, grinding, whatever you want. Right? So that's all going to be mutter. Midi Tahavi Aborer. La'achlo Miyah Shari. Just like by Borer. That is the heter of the Rashba. The Mishnah Berurah, though, notes that, you know, maybe we shouldn't rely on this on a regular basis if we don't need to, because there are many Rishonim that aren't so happy about it. If somebody needs to and wants to, it's a Ramah. You can't argue with you have a Ramah to rely on. Yishmi Amal Ismoch, one could rely on the Ramah, but if one wants to, you didn't get to make the salad, the things were going crazy in the morning, and they're having gas, you want to make the salad. Even especially if you don't rely on it every week. But if you need the heter, you have the heter. The Rama says it. The Mishnah Berurah says, if it's possible to do another way, either to not to do it so finely, or to do it in the fourth, well, we didn't get to number four yet, do it in another heter, as we'll get to, you know, it might be better. But there is an important limitation to this heter, and that is, where do we learn this heter miyan from? We learned it from the malacha of Borer. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're going to rely on the heter, you can't use a kli. Because by Borer, you can't use a kli. You can't use a kli, a separating instrument, or a grinding instrument. A knife, I don't know if that would be a grinding instrument. A chopper, a masher. Right, so I don't think that would be called a kli. A knife is not a grinding instrument. I don't think it's a cutter. I don't think it's specified. Right, you can, but what's a knife used for? To cut your food, but it's not used for chopping generally. Unless you have a special chopping knife. Maybe a special chopping knife. But a regular knife that you serve, maybe I would use that kind of knife. I wouldn't use a special chopping knife. Because that's used for chopping. You don't serve that at the meal, right, with the special handles with the ridges. Maybe if you have a special chopping knife, so then that would be a kli, and you shouldn't use that if you're relying on this heter. Because remember, the whole heter is borrowed from Borer. But by Borer, you can't use a kli. You can't use the special utensil for the malacha. So therefore, if you're relying on the heter, like the Rama says, for immediate consumption, so then one should not use a kli. And again, what does immediate consumption mean? We mentioned the Borer. Doesn't mean the second before the meal. Just work backwards in terms of how much time you need to prepare. If you need a half an hour to prepare the salad, so then half an hour before the meal is called miyad. That's called immediate consumption. If you're going to take a walk in the middle, going to go to shul in the middle, that's not miyad. That's not miyad. That's not allowed.
So you know, can't make the salad at home before you have to shul.
Right. That's not miyad. Right. That's not called immediate. If you're going to come to shul in the middle, that's not this heter.
So you can't make the shul and then make the salad.
If you're relying on this heter, so then you have to come up from shul and before the meal do it. Yeah, so if one needs, again, I just quote, the Rama said it's mutter, based on the Rashba. The Mishnah Berurah says, there are many that argue, so if you can generally not rely on it, meaning do things a little bit bigger than usual, and, don't shop it, or we'll see one more, there's one more way to help, and other things like eggs, we said is not a problem, and anything that doesn't grow from the ground is not a problem, and things that have grown, you know, the sprinkling bread, or the bread croutons around, that's not a problem. But again, if you need to rely on it, let's say you always do it before Shabbos, you didn't get to do it, you had a lot of guests, you know these people like the salad, so rely on it, smutzer before the meal. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Okay, number four, final exemption, fourth to four, again, we have only gidulei karka, things that grow from the grounds, ain token achar token, number three, miyad, number four, shinui. Usually, the rule is, when I have a malacha, doraisa, from the Torah, if I do it in an unusual way, that takes it down from a doraisa to a derabanan. That is the usual rule by malachas. If I do something, and that's why if we have to do something, we do it in an unusual way. If I have to, you know, turn on a breathing machine for an asthmatic on Shabbos, I try to do it with my pinky, with my elbow, you know, whatever. I try, if I have to do something, I try to do it, try to get into the world of Rabbanan more than Da'oraisa. But there's a chiddush in the malacha of Tochein. The Gemara says, if I do it in an unusual way called Shinoi, it's mutter. It's mutter. It's not just Asa Drabanan, it's even mutter. The Gemara says, I gave it to you in the Shulchan Aruch, according to Gemara 36, mutter ladoch pilpilin afilu har beyachad, you're allowed to grind peppers, even many, v'hushi yeduchi bekatash al sakin, if you look, use the handle of a knife. You turn around the knife and you smash it with the handle, that is totally an abnormal, unusual way of chopping, and therefore it would be mutter. So again, this is a chiddush by the malacha of, so you can't dice, you know, with anything else than the knife blade. So it's not going to help you. But, let's say, if we're talking about mashing in a minute, but some things you could do with a spoon. You could do something with a spoon. You don't chop with a spoon. You don't do anything with a spoon. So if you could do something in an unusual way with a shinui, that also would be mutter. Rav Moshe says, you don't have to use the handle of the spoon. The spoon itself is unusual. That's what Rav Moshe says in Source 37. So you don't have to, let's say you want to chop up a banana for a child. So you just use the spoon. You know, that's not a knife, but it could be more of a problem. Nobody chops up with a spoon, so therefore that would be a problem. So that is a fourth idea, shinui, making it mutter. So what we have left, and I'll take the question now, we discussed part one, which is backgrounds of the rules for head, limited to gedulei karka, things that grow from the grounds. Ein token achar token, the heter of miyad, immediate, and shinui. What we have left to do is just discuss three more issues, and then I'll take the question. Slicing, mashing, and what about cooked items that are basically falling apart before you start mashing them? Okay, yeah.
Using your
other hands. Do you ever cut anything with your other hands? You never cut it, and it feels... awkward. Feels awkward. I guess that's a shinui. I don't know. I'm not sure. The chayadam, in a different context, says the only malacha that we're sure that left hand makes it a shinui is writing. It says writing for sure. That's, you know, you can't, if you're a righty and you're writing with your left hand, forget it. You know, it's totally the act is going to be unusual. The result is going to be unusual. But by other, let's say carrying. If you're a righty, carry them with your left hand. That's normal. Carry things with your left hand. So it's not clear by the other malachas when it comes to left hand. I would rather use either the handle of something or a spoon for that matter. Because sometimes you would chop. Let's say you just happen to have the utensils in the wrong hands. Sometimes you could cut something. You know, you can, even though it's more difficult. I'm not sure. It could be. It's better, but it's if you could use the handle or spoon, so then that would be better. Okay. Last three discussions. Number one, slicing. What about cutting into long, thin strips? Is that tochein? It's thin in one direction, but it's long in the other direction. So is that called? Is that a problem of tochein? So that seems to be a machlokas achronim. The Archa Shabbos in 38, which is again a contemporary posek, says it's aser. In Lachtof Yarak L'Ritzuos Dakot Bei Isser Tochein, he assumes it's a problem, but Rav Moshe is matir. Rav Moshe does not think that's the malacha of Tochein. He assumes that Tochein is small pieces. And if it's long in one direction, that's not small pieces. And therefore, no matter how thin you slice it, says Rav Moshe, it's not a problem. He says that in source number 40. In the Gemara's case, where they were making thin pieces of wood to make a barrel, okay, there that could be thin because that's the whole purpose of what you're making there for the barrel. But when it comes to foods, Avaloba Oakland, Dilokin, are like a gvul as that? You can say that's a problem. So then there's no what's never. You can extend it more and more. When are you going to say there's a limit? Therefore, Moshe says slicing is not a problem. Number one. Number two. What about mashing? I haven't spoken about mashing yet. Mashing a potato. Yeah. Yeah. According to your Moshe, yes. Then dice it up. Yeah. If you. Okay. If you want to slice it way before, because that's not, and then you dice it right beforehand. So according to that, you'd be able to rely on that. According to the Rama, yes. Okay. What about mashing? So just conceptually, if you think about mashing is somewhat different than regular. What do you define grinding as? You start off with one unit, and you break it up into a bunch of little pieces. When you mash something, you end up with one piece, one gush. You mash a potato or a banana, it's one piece. So is that tochein? Is that grinding? So what is the... again, we said mashing tuna is not a problem, right? Because tuna fish is not gedulei karka. No problem by tuna. You don't even, doesn't even start. What about mashing a banana? So is there an issue? So the Chazon Ish thought it was a problem. The Chazon Ish thought mashing is a problem. He writes in source 41 on top. He holds it is a problem based on a Tosefta, which we're not going to go into the details of the Tosefta now. But he holds it is a problem, and he says for mashing it's even more chomer because he quotes a source that even miyad would be usher. So the Chazon Ish thinks that it is a problem. Rav Moshe is more makel when it comes to mashing. He's not so convinced. At the end, he says I would be careful because the Chazon Ish thought it was usher. But he, Misvara, thinks that I don't think that mashing is the exact malacha of tochein, right? Because tochein is, like the Rambam says back in source number one, to take a yarak, to break it into small pieces. Lokeach guf echad u'machalka l'gufim harbe. And that doesn't happen. You have one unit, and you end up with a bunch of units. That's not what mashing is. But he says, because the Chazanish said it, I think maybe we should try to be choshish for it, which means, you know, mashing with a potato or a banana, just mash it with a handle, mash it with a spoon. You know, that's an unusual way of doing it. Right, so avocado also would be a good example. Right, so just do it with a spoon, which is an unusual way of doing it, but generally a spoon, or even the handle, could be just as good. You could scoop it out with a spoon, and scoop it out from the peel with a spoon, and then, you know, and then just, you want to put it on challah, you want to put the avocado on anything. Take out the good from the bad. Take out the good from the bad. Take out the avocado and leave the pit. Leave the pit. Take out the avocado and let the pit drop. Right, you take the good from the bad. That's what we always try to do. Or take out the pit with some avocado on it. Right, that's another. Okay, if it's a separated unit already, just turn it over and it falls out. That's.
If you're loosening it.
So again, you should take out some good with it. Take out some good with it. Okay, so that's the issue of mashing. Again, l'chadchila, try to do it with a shinui, so we can be choshish for the shita of the Chazanish. And finally, number three, the Rambam has a shita in 43 about previously cooked foods. Say somebody has, you have a potato that's falling apart in the soup. It's very soft. So you take it out of the soup and you want to mash it. So again, it's very soft. Right? It doesn't really need mashing. So by these types of items, foods that are very soft to start off with, that are basically falling apart, an overripe banana that you're is very soft. So the post can say the Shemir Shabbos writes this in source 45. That is not a problem because they're basically ground already. Halachically, they're considered ground already. If it's so easy that they're falling apart even before you start, so then that is not a problem. In source 45, here's the Yerakoshin is. Ma'achu idea bishul that have become soft through cooking. V'nochem ema ol l'risuk, they're very easy to mash. Nifka me'emes or tchina, there's no problem. V'chein mutal amroach peres mevushalim, somebody has a compote, al prusas lachem, you have very soft fruits and berries. You know, so that also would be not a problem because that is already considered a tchunim kvar, already mashed. So again, we spoke about the yisod of tochein, breaking something down into small parts. Ya, biyad, or bakli, food, not food, and we said how small is not 100% clear, maybe when it achieves a new purpose, that's when it's usser. Part two, we spoke about four different exceptions to the rule. No problem by non-gudule karka, ein tochein ela gudule karka, ein tochein achar tochein, right, if it's ground already once, it's not a problem to do it again. Number three, miyad is a machlokas, the Ramah quotes it. Mishnah Berurah says, if you don't have to rely on it, try not to, but yesh, if somebody needs to rely on it, you got the heter. And number four, shinui. The fourth one, if you do it with an unusual way, it's mutter. Even though usually shinui makes it drabanan, here it's mutter. And then the last three discussions of slicing, mashing, and previously cooked foods. Okay? Yeah.
What about a garlic crusher?
A garlic crusher. So again, a garlic crusher.
Using an instrument.
Right. What do you do? You put pieces, whole garlics. You squeeze it. Yeah, that sounds like a problem. Yeah, it sounds like a problem. I would say that's a problem even miyad, right? Because we said if you're relying miyad, you can't use a kli. Frozen cubes of garlic. Are they already crushed? They're already crushed. Yeah, but they're just stuck together. They're just stuck together. That's not a problem. That's medida. That's what I'm doing this in the Shabbos here. Measuring spoons. So measuring spoons, don't be too exact.
Okay, just approximate.
Don't use measuring spoons. Just use regular spoons. Use a regular teaspoon. Don't approximate. Because medida shal mitzvah is mutter. Meaning, if you have to give a specific amount of medicine to a child, medida shal mitzvah, mutter. You let him measure the shear for a kezias, for how much you need for kiddush or for matzah. We pass a medida shal mitzvah is mutter, but medida measuring that's for non mitzvah purposes is within it's in the rabbanon. It's a rabbanon included in mekach u'memkar and business activities. But again, if you're not exact, then it's okay. So just don't be exact.
So can you use a measuring cup and like that?
Yeah, a little too much, too little. Yeah, don't go exact.
Okay, you're gonna have to
What?
Yeah, I don't think the kli, as long as you use the kli, not for, don't use it for a measuring kli. Use it, go more or less, about. Right, it comes out. If you don't really care so much, it comes up. Comes up. Sometimes they have these, years ago, they have these, the act. We're getting a little off the top. We're doing Medizi here a little bit. That's okay. They have an act for adults also. So it's a mouthwash, it's a fluoride. So you squeeze, and there's a fill line. So no matter how much you squeeze, it goes down to the line. Because it's an exact amount. So I remember I asked, are you allowed to use that? So you don't really care how much comes out. You don't really focus. You squeeze it, you drink. You're looking exactly how much. Therefore, it's not a problem because you're not really focusing on it. A certain amount comes out. But you're not really focusing on it. Okay, so we'll stop here. And Be'ez Hashem, we will continue in a couple of weeks.